Don't forget the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox. We are joined on that hotline right now by Vahe Gregorian, sports columnist for the Kansas City Star, longtime journalist. Vahe, welcome. How are you today?
I'm glad to be with you guys. I think I heard a reference to somebody named Ferdinand, which makes me feel the need to share with your audience that Ferdinand the Bull was my favorite childhood book. But if it wasn't Ferdinand, I'm sorry for the intrusion.
No, you got that right. You don't miss anything, Vahe. Let's start talking about the Chiefs, because you've been a sports writer for a long time. I made the comment as we were going to break that I don't think I've ever seen anything like what this team is doing and the way they're winning football games, to the point where they have the best record in the NFL, and people are questioning, are they really a good football team? It doesn't make any sense. Of course they're a good football team, or they wouldn't have this record, right?
Well, that is, first of all, that is 100% true. Now, I think the real question, if you're really looking at it, is how good. And I think there's a thousand different ways to look at this, and I don't know which one is most valid, but I think all of them have a voice in this identity, because for one thing, you know, they win these games on this crazy array of things that have happened, right? I mean, if you had two or three of those things happen in a season, you'd say that's bizarre. And they've had like eight of them. And, you know, really every game seems to be the same for 59 minutes and 30 seconds, and then who knows how this one's going to be won. But the point really is that they always are putting themselves in that position. We'll talk a lot about that the field goal doinked off the left upright. Yeah. But what we should be talking about is the third and seven pass to Kelce to convert, to put themselves in that spot. We'll talk a lot about how Baltimore, if the receiver doesn't land a toe out of bounds, then the Chiefs might well lose that game. They still would have had to convert a two-pointer, but it felt like that was what was going to happen. But we're not talking enough about that Lamar Jackson did not make the play on the previous play because he sailed the ball over somebody's another open receiver's hands. And so one way or another, what we see all the time is the other team either failing to make a play when it has to, and the Chiefs virtually always making a play when it has to. And at some level, you can say what you want, whether this feels like a house of cards and you know, who knows, but they've done it over and over again. And it's not just cosmetic to be 12-1. It's they are 12-1 and in a really good place to secure a number one seed and the bye that comes with it and have everything go through Kansas City again. So most of all, they've done exactly what they need to be doing. And by the way, it's not in a vacuum. I mean, it's there've been some things they've been poor at. There've been some things they've been better at. All of this is stuff that is, you know, working toward a playoff approach.
Well, and so if we go into the defensive side and the offensive side, you know, the defensive side has played well. They don't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And then you look at the offensive side and getting away from Mahomes and that side, you know, obviously the left tackle's been a huge problem. What are they going to do? We're used to them scoring a bunch of points. They've hit 30 twice. Once was against Carolina. The other was against Tampa Bay. They've scored 19 points the last two games. Are they going to have trouble putting points on the board? Are we going to have to rely on this defense to continually keep teams under 20?
Well, it's going to be both. And there's some interesting things within that, right? I mean, they've scored only 19 points each of these last two games, only one touchdown each of these last two games. If they score another touchdown or so in the red zone, then that looks a little bit different. They've got some breathing room, and you know, now you're up into the mid-20s, but they're not doing that. And is that a solvable thing? It's kind of interesting because they're so good on third downs. You'd think that would translate a little more into being so good in the red zone, right? Finding the way to get those yards when you have to have them hasn't been that way. Why they get away from some things that seem to be working, I don't know. For instance, they've those 30-point games, they had a lot of carries by Kareem Hunt in those games. I'm not saying he's the whole reason, but they established the run. And they've gotten away from the run pretty fast these last two games. Is it that they're just, you know, bad strategists, or is it something that they're seeing that says we got to get away from the run? And I think we understand that it's obviously more the latter than the former, but it's not always something we're able to understand their rationale for. So, you know, look, they've gotten some reinforcements the last couple of weeks. Pacheco's back. You can see he's starting to hit his stride. Amenihue's back. Maybe they'll get Hollywood Brown back. That's really an X factor. I think maybe this left tackle situation will get firmed up with once Humphreys plays a little bit, assuming he isn't too greatly injured. I think we all expected more than we should have out of him in that first game. And when you realize it's not only his first game in a year, but his first game for a new team and a new system, there are a lot of reasons that he might have looked a step behind and a little tentative. I'm looking forward to seeing him after a couple of games under his belt. So I think there's every reason to think they're going to have some things be better. And let's remember one last thing. From all the Super Bowl years that they won Super Bowls, there were major questions about them along the way, right around now. I mean, last year, you remember they were in the process of losing 3 of 4. What's wrong with the Chiefs? The second Super Bowl year, they won 7 games in a row by, like, you know, 5 points or fewer. What's wrong with the Chiefs? The defense was horrendous the first year they won the Super Bowl until the last month of the season. So they've had a bit of a trend towards getting better when they have to. And I feel like that's what we should still anticipate. Doesn't mean it will be good enough, but I do feel like it's what we should still anticipate.
Vahe Gregorian from the Kansas City Star sports columnist. We're talking Chiefs. So Patrick Mahomes has been an MVP in this league. He's been a Super Bowl MVP. He's put up gaudy numbers. He's been incredible. He's not in that spot in his career right now where he's putting up those kinds of numbers. Yet, as you mentioned, that pass to Kelce the other day to set up the field goal that went off the upright and won the game. It seems like, I don't know how to even describe Patrick Mahomes at this stage of his career. It's almost like he's more dangerous than he's ever been without the incredible numbers. Is that nuts?
Well, I think you're hitting at the essence of what I think. And, you know, Sam McDowell wrote a really nice column about this the other day, and it circles back to basically 4 words Mahomes said to Andy Reid while they were trying to figure out the strategy down the stretch. I'll make something happen. You know? And here's the thing about Patrick. You're right. The numbers are actually greatly diminished. There's a lot going on that, you know, accounts for that. But let's just, you know, call that for what it is. The numbers are way down. They've been way down for a couple of years, you know, when you think about it. I still feel like you give me a first-round draft pick on somebody I want to win the game for me in the last 2 minutes, he's the guy. And he's probably not going to, you know, even be one of the top 2 or 3 MVP guys this year. He's still the MVP to me in terms of what he means to this whole engine, what he provides, what he makes happen. And the fascinating part is, okay, we've seen quarterbacks do it with their legs before, but we haven't quite seen the whole repertoire that he brings. And I got watching some of the things he did earlier this season, and a couple of weeks ago I wrote about how basketball has influenced his game as a quarterback. And I thought it would be a good idea to talk to Bill Self over at KU about that, because I know he's a big Patrick fan. And Bill made an interesting point, you know, that in basketball you want a point guard who can count to 10, right? He knows where everybody on the court is on both teams. And he said he's pretty sure Patrick can count to 22 when he's on the field. And I think that really says a lot about the most vital part of what makes Patrick who he is the spatial awareness and the ability to physically take advantage of the spatial awareness. I mean, he just has an uncanny understanding of what's around him, what the flow is, what can fit into what box. And these are things that show up a lot in the little flick pass to Travis Kelce, or, you know, the passes we've known him better for over the years with the big gainers.
Yeah, and I kind of want to go back to what you said earlier when we were talking about the offensive side and why they got away from the run. They seem to be to me, they got to be more of a running team, because even when you look at what Mahomes has to work with, it's really not a lot. Let's be honest, Kelsey's a step slower. Xavier Worthy's kind of here and there. Hopkins is kind of help, but he's getting a little older. Juju's just kind of Juju. Do you think they should stick with the run a little bit more, or does Patrick have the ability to change things at the line whenever he wants? I don't know if you know that or not, but if he's seeing stuff, does he just change it and decide, let's go and we're going to pass, or is that all Andy Reid?
Well, it's a combination. I do think Patrick can pretty much change anything anytime he wants, but I think it's within a range of things typically, unless it's a certain time of game. The thing that I can't quite figure out, and maybe it's obvious, but I can't quite figure it out, is why there hasn't been just enough more connectivity with Xavier Worthy that takes the lid off a little bit. If not, with a completed pass, at least with opening up the middle of the field more. I thought that would be more in sync and harmony by now, and it's just really not been there. It's not like, I don't think it's been a dud year for Xavier Worthy, but it hasn't been the sort of year you thought it would be. And to your point, I think there's room for them to run a bit more. And I think also, though, I think what until they can make sure they really got some protection shored up, and they are not at all sure about that right now. That last drive of the first half, I believe, is when it was the only touchdown drive. It was a little bit with respect to the clock, but it also was for a change of pace. I mean, it was the quick, rapid release passes that, suddenly gets the other team backpedaling, and it's 7, 8, 10 yards at a time. But they were very effective with that. And I think they're going to have to find ways to make that more a part of their featured routine.
Final moments here with Vahe Gregorian from the Kansas City Star. Chiefs, of course, only one loss, 12-1. They're in Cleveland to face the Browns on Sunday. They'll win that game on a 99-yard fumble return with 10 seconds to go. That's my prediction.
That's funny you say that. I can't believe you're predicting that. I predicted a pick six, but yeah, go ahead.
That's what I was thinking. With Jameis out there, that's probably 50-50 for that.
Cleveland will have the lead. They'll want to run the ball, and they'll fumble it. And anyway, let's jump over to KU basketball. You mentioned Bill Self. They got off to a flying start with some impressive wins against a very demanding schedule, but they've faltered of late, including a loss at Missouri over the weekend. They brought in a bunch of transfer portal guys to mix them up with a couple of veterans, and then Hunter Dickinson in his second year. It's so interesting to watch teams try to put together teams that have chemistry and talent. In this day of the transfer portal, how difficult is that, in your opinion?
Well, listen, I think it's the question of our times in college sports, right? I mean, and it doesn't have to be, I think I'm using the term right, a zero-sum game, right, whether you just get a guy who is, you can nurture and there's going to be chemistry and it's going to be a couple of years, or you just get a superstar. You can find ways to blend all of this. But I do think what you find yourself reminded of is that November and December aren't necessarily going to be indicators of where they'll be in February and March. And they're kind of a really interesting study in this, right? As they beat a couple of blue bloods, at least in name blue bloods, and then they don't beat Creighton or Missouri, and obviously that's in the craw of many a Jayhawk after that. Do I have a feel for where this will be? I don't know. I mean, right now you think it looks like an early exit from the NCAA tournament type team, but I think that, we've seen Bill Self do a lot of great things. What's most interesting to me, though, back to the very early point you're making, that last national title team was a team made up of guys who were there a few years. I mean, they developed in the program. Now, they've certainly got a couple of those guys now, but it's not quite as foundational as it was then. So now you've got more of the sort of floating cast of characters, not entirely, but more. And I think it's a panel discussion, you know, waiting to be had about just roster construction.
I agree. You know, Bill Self does get a lot of credit, and he's definitely worthy for being able to build teams and improve teams. But he's got so many guys now on this team who have been through the wars. How much can they improve? We'll see as the season progresses. Vahe, I always love having you on. Thanks for doing it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. We'll talk to you before long.